accident. Please refer to the All Treatment Standards for the introduction, definitions, quotations, and sealing the treatment, because those are standard for every treatment. Therefore, this recording will focus on the uniqueness of just the topic of accident. Also, everything in this treatment applies to all humanity and would be a very appropriate topic in the effort to pray three times a day for the purpose of benefiting all humanity. The All Treatment Standards offer both PDF and MP3s. Therefore, you can select the category that is of interest to you at the moment. It is highly recommended that you utilize these All Treatment Standards in every treatment that you prepare for yourself, whether it be in writing or whether it be extemporaneous, such as all of the ones that we provide. What is unique about accident? That will be the focus of this recording. This recording will begin with what is the same about it with every other ailment. What is the same about it is that it is unreal because it has no basis or foundation. There's nothing in the definition of God that indicates that a quality of God is accident. In fact, quite to the contrary. One of the primary qualities of God is principle. And principle is the opposite of chaos. It is the opposite of something being out of place, for it is all balance and all harmony. It is system and structure. What kind of a system and structure would God be representing in his qualities if it had any kind of flaw? Certainly, chaos is a flaw. Certainly, accident is a flaw. Spirit is the only substance of God. That's the only substance, therefore, that exists at all, because everything about God is omni, which means that it is one only in all. So there is no other substance except the substance of God. And spirit is the opposite of matter. Matter is full of flaws, and therefore the opposite means that spirit is flawless. No flaw whatsoever. That means the substance of principle, which is spirit, since spirit is the only substance that exists, therefore the substance of principle is flawless. The operation of principle is flawless because it is of the substance of spirit. The balance of principle is flawless. So the harmony, the balance, the entire operation of principle, the system and structure is all flawless. Now, where does love come in? Well, love is the plan and design of everything, and therefore it is the plan and design of the system and structure of principle. And again, love only has one source of substance, and that is spirit. And since spirit is flawless, then the very substance of love has to be flawless. That means love cannot be material because matter is flaws from beginning to end. There is no flawlessness in love. It is flawed totally. It is full of mistakes. It is all mistake. In fact, it doesn't even exist, so there is no reality in it whatsoever. So since the plan and design of everything is love, And of course, love also represents nurturing, because love represents motherhood. Love represents fulfillment. Now, you cannot have fulfillment unless everything has been nurtured. That is the only way that fulfillment can exist. And of course, love not only exists, but it is omnipresent, because God is omnipresent. Therefore, God is love means that love is omnipresent. John tells us about love. John was the only disciple that was qualified to receive revelation, which was dictated to John by Jesus. Jesus came back in the flesh on the island of Patmos to dictate the book of Revelation to the one and only qualified disciple to receive it, which was John. Every other disciple, all 11 of them, were traitors. They didn't even show up at the cross. John had no fear about a pot of boiling oil. He was immersed in it, and it had no effect on him. They couldn't kill him, so they sent him to an island. They exiled him. They couldn't kill him, so they had to exile him. That was the only way they could get rid of his face. He was so spiritual that if they would have done to him what they did to John the Baptist, which was behead him, his head probably would have been reinstated. Like someone that has their thumb cut off, they have medical practitioners that will sew it back on. There's no record of John's body being recovered, so that fact points to ascension. One of the quotes at the beginning of Science and Health is by Shakespeare, which says, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Well, Revelation proves that John's thinking was in the kingdom of heaven. He saw the new heaven, and he related it to us as inspiration for us to keep striving for that level of spirituality which he was living. And obviously, his teacher was the best there was, which was Jesus. Jesus did not solve any problem for us. Jesus was only an example as an inspiration for us to get on the stick and follow his way of living, which was all in consciousness, the pure path of truth. Life represents fatherhood. So if we're going to live the life that Jesus lived, that means we are going to have our consciousness be the Christ consciousness, which means the consciousness of God, which means the consciousness of Spirit, which means it has no flaws. Now, if our consciousness has no flaws, how can we even accept as real an accident? An accident is full of flaws and is the opposite of being flawless. But the only substance that exists is flawless. So can an accident be real? It cannot be real to us or anyone in all existence, because it is not from God. As one of the greatest practitioners of all time said, who is Frederick L. Rawson, who healed a man that had a load of rocks dumped on him by accident. And when Mr. Rawson observed the event, and he was looking out the window when this happened, he said five words, and he understood what he said. He had practiced it. He had demonstrated it. So saying the words was only a reminder to anyone that didn't understand what was going on. Just like Elisha said, to his servant when his servant saw them surrounded by the king's men with all their chariots and swords and everything, because they had been instructed to capture Elijah. Or maybe it was Elisha. It doesn't matter. The point is that he made the statement and he said, God, show him that the forces that are protecting us are more than the forces that are trying to attack us. Something to that effect. He says, so that my servant may see. Well, that's what Frederick L. Rassen said. He said, there is nothing but God. And with that, the man came out from underneath the rocks like a rocket, and he was totally unscratched. Otherwise, he probably would have been dead. Mr. Rassen knew it. He knew there was nothing but God because he had proved it so many times. In fact, he proved that there is no time because he was able to demonstrate retroactive treatment, or treating backwards is another term he uses, which is means that the treatment was effective before he was notified that the individual had their thought open to him being involved in their healing. It is stated that he had over 500 instances of proving that. Now, if you prove it once, that says that it's real. He did it over 500 times. If one is walking down the street and sees an accident, or they're driving, or anything they're doing, they could be viewing the landscape through binoculars, and they see the belief of an accident taking place. Does that mean that it is real? No, not at all. The only thing that is real is something that is expressing the qualities of God. Because God is all in all. God is the only thing that exists. And of course, that includes God's manifestation, which is us, each one of us, all humanity. Except we're not really human, that is a life made out of matter and with ups and downs and all kinds of chaos. We are spiritual ideas of God, and therefore we cannot experience anything that God cannot experience because we're God's image. Genesis 1 says, let man be made in God's image and likeness. And it then says, God created man in his image and likeness. We have to let it happen. Jesus could not heal in Galilee, except very little, because they thought of him as a boy or as a carpenter. They didn't realize that he was the highest representation of man that ever existed. So they rejected it. They closed their thought. And if someone closes their thought to it, forget it. Go on to someone that is receptive. So he traveled to other areas where they were receptive. And obviously his record is public. At this moment on our website, we show 34 very significant things that he did. There was nothing that he could not reverse that was a mistake, a mistaken view of reality. He reversed everything that he was faced with. I believe it's John that states that there were many, many more events that are not of written record. A popular phrase among Christian scientists is that there's no accidents. There are no accidents in divine mind. I mean, we certainly ought to be able to remember that easily. That would be a good place to start. In fact, Mr. Rawson says that the first thing we should say when we see that there's a problem is to say that there is no, and then whatever the name of the problem is. And then he immediately reverts into talking about God, talking about man being spiritual, talking about perfection. He has given us an encyclopedia that we call the A to Z encyclopedia. And that encyclopedia basically gives us the counterfact to all ailments that he listed, which are 1,315. So that work has already been done for us. We can merely look it up in the book if we haven't memorized it. And we can just repeat it and then expand on it by making it our own. We can't just repeat someone else's demonstration and expect that to be our demonstration. Mr. Rawson didn't just repeat those five words that someone else may have written. He made it his own by proving it with his own demonstration. He went through the steps of what is the word, which means what are the facts about God. And he thought about them, he contemplated them. The second operator, and these are all introduced in that all treatment standards that was referred to at the beginning of this recording. So there's four operators, and they're called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And I mentioned just now that the Word was the qualities of God, the facts about God. The Christ means whatever we are experiencing that has come our way, that is trying to be a mesmeric belief that is false. In other words, anything that appears to be a problem, the Christ means we have to translate that to what the facts are. And the facts means that it has to be about God. What is the truth about this? If I'm seeing an accident, what is the truth? Well, the truth is that there are no accidents. The truth is that there is no chaos. There is no sin, disease, or death that could have caused an accident. And death, I guess it's somebody that maybe was driving into belief, had a heart attack, and passed on while he was driving. And so that was the cause of the accident. It just came to me. Anyway, there is nothing that can cause an accident because God is not chaos. God is harmony because God is principle. Principle means it is system and structure. And spirit, as already explained, is the substance of the system and structure of principle. And love is the plan and design of principle. Love is certainly made out of the substance of spirit. So there isn't anything that could have caused it. Soul means sense, and with spirit being the only substance, then every sense that is real is spiritual sense. So it couldn't be seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, or smelling that could have caused the accident, because all of those are spiritual qualities. How about life? Could life cause an accident? How could it? Life is exercising the qualities of God. It multiplies out into the atmosphere of thought. Every time we live the life of God, which means reflecting the life of God, that reflects out into the atmosphere of thought. so that everyone benefits. Anyone that has their thought open to what real life is benefits by our demonstrating in our own experience the qualities of God. How about truth? Truth is consciousness. Truth is motive. Truth means there is no mistake. If there's no mistake, it has to be of the substance of spirit. And truth is of the substance of spirit, because that's the only thing that doesn't, that's the only substance that has no flaw. It is flawless. Flawless. Like the Indian said, the smile of the Great Spirit. That was a beautiful lake that was calm, had a beautiful landscape all around it that was being reflected in the water. The sky, the color of the sky, everything was perfect. They called it the smile of the Great Spirit. That's what we need to be looking for in everything that we are doing when we're looking. Look for the smile of the Great Spirit. Look for perfection. Mary Baker Eddy stopped what she was doing several times a day to make sure that she was only seeing, talking, and doing good. Several times a day she did that. She specifically prayed 3 times a day, but she was constantly looking for good. And she would stop what she was doing and look for it in what she was doing. She would say to herself, am I seeing only the perfect man? Am I doing only the perfect activity? Am I doing it in a perfect way? Am I letting God guide me in what I'm doing? That's what she means when she says she stopped several times a day to make sure that she was focusing on truth. We must let truth be our motive, which is one of the qualities of truth, and be our consciousness so that our speech and action are always perfect. And it's not us doing it. It's us getting out of the way and letting the truth do it. In a healing, truth is the healer. Mind is the medicine. Because as Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we going to let our thinking represent the knowing and the intelligence and the wisdom of God? Or are we trying to insert our own little ego? That is the most trouble of any three-letter word that exists. Ego. Ego. She says that we will fight giving up ego because we live on ego. We think we're it. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother, I would go to her with what I thought was a problem. I don't know, I might have been 4 or 5 years old. It's when I was at home before I started school. And I started school when I was 5 because of my birthday. It came, or rather I should say school apparently started before my birthday. Anyway, I was 5. So I was probably 3 or 4 when I said this and I told her I had a big problem. She'd say, go to God. I'd say, oh, Mom, this is too little for God. Nothing is too little for God. Because following God or following in the steps of Jesus or in the steps of Mary Baker Eddy or any other very advanced Christian Science student such as Mr. Rawson or Wentworth Winslow, he raised a boy from the dead. Bignell Young raised himself from the dead. He was deemed dead by drowning. And he was observing all of the people that were mourning over his death. And he came to the conclusion, there's more things for me to do on earth. I got to get back to life. I got to get back and appear to be in that body that's laying down there that's dead. And that's what he did. He was doing such a wonderful job that the half a mother church didn't want him to be teaching other people to be teachers. They didn't want the good word to spread because they wanted to control everybody. They wanted to be the ego. Well, it didn't work. You can see what's happened to the population of the Christian Science churches. It's gone down to almost nothing. Beautiful historic buildings are sold for pittance or vacant and just rotting away. Or they're donated to the mother church because of their ignorance. Mary Baker Eddy separated the mother church from the branches. She indicates that every church has to have their own bylaws. You cannot adopt the bylaws of the mother church because that is only for one church. It's really a branch church for people that are living in and around Boston. That's what its purpose is. To be a mother church connected to all the branches and controlling all the branches was a very temporary thing that was supposed to expire when she passed on. In fact, she detached it before she passed on. You can look at the images at the front of the Christian Science Sentinel back in her day, and you'll see that the early images had the branches attached and the later editions had them detached. Mrs. Orgain, one of the advanced students, wrote a book, The Detached Branch. So does any of this apply to an accident? Does any of this apply to all humanity, where it would qualify for praying three times a day for all humanity? Remember, harmony and balance are key qualities of principle. That is system and structure. It's like a closet. If you have an empty closet, say you move into a new house and all the rooms are empty, are you going to let them fill up based on a simple structure and system with a spiritual nature? Or are you just going to throw stuff on the floor? Are you just going to throw stuff in the closet? Or are you going to have shelves or whatever it takes to make things organized so that you can find what you need immediately? All you have to do is remember that I go to my closet. What is the most comprehensive closet in the world? Our consciousness. Remember, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What is in our consciousness? Is it in order? Are we keeping mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love unique and yet combined in a network? Just like the trees in Northwest California called the redwood sequoia trees. Just under the surface, they have shallow roots, but they all bond together with all the other redwood sequoia trees in the area. It is one grand network. That's why they have survived, I don't know, they claim thousands of years. I don't know whether some of them are 2,000 or 3,000 years old, whatever. Because they can withstand any kind of mesmeric belief of an accident, whether it's a storm, wind, fire, doesn't matter. They have withstood it. Because they're unified. Unity of truth. Unity of love. Unity of mind, spirit, soul. Unity of love. obviously, unity of life, unity of principle, system and structure. They've got the most beautiful system and structure in the world because it's united with truth. It's united with life. Everyone that appears to be an accident is united with God. We must know that they are a child of God, every single one of them. And they can't be hurt because there is no injury in truth. Truth is without mistake. Injury is mistake. Injury is saying that 2 plus 3 is 18 or 2 plus 3 is 0.1. 2 plus 3 has one answer. It's 5, a whole number. Complete. It's not 4.9, it's not 5.1, it's 5. 12 times 12 is not 143. It's not 145. It's 144. By the way, that's the number of lights in the ceiling of the Mother Church. It was designed that way by Mary Baker Eddy to represent the 144-point matrix. By the way, the one that has discovered the most advanced system by Mary Baker Eddy, they discovered the most advanced features, is Rolf Witzke. And he realized that the glossary had 144 definitions. You can't just count them, because they don't add up to 144. You have to understand the spiritual nature. He has it all explained in his volume 3 of his books. He discovered the system of Christian Science that Mary Baker Eddy refers to on page 146 and is in the header of the website, which means it's on every page. And it says, this quoting Mary Baker Eddy, it says, divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. She doesn't tell us what it is, because she said the public wasn't ready for it when she realized that she had a complete system. She had not read the Science Now through from beginning to end. And when she did, she realized, well, God has unfolded to me a complete system here. He had the seven elements, which are tantamount to what math has as 10 digits. And they had four operators, which is the word Christ, Christianity, and science. Mathematics has add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And if you think about it, the word represents adding. We have to add the thought to our consciousness about all the facts about God. That's what the word is. And we have to subtract out anything that comes to us as a problem, the negativity of it, and that's what the Christ is. It's translating it. Jesus saw the perfect man. He didn't see a blind man or a leper or a dead girl or a dead Lazarus. He saw the perfect man, the perfect individual, and that's how he was able to heal it. A fountain cannot rise any higher than its source. We got to realize the source is God. So we better get our thought up there to God. When we see a problem, we have to deny that it is real. There is no accident in divine mind. That's denying the reality. That's denying what appears to be real. A favorite phrase of Christian Scientists is that fear is false evidence appearing real. we have to say no. No, this accident is not real. It is only false evidence that appears to be real. It is not real. And there's no one that appears to be in that accident can really be having any kind of discord. Because God is the only source. Mary Baker Eddy gave us 26 subjects that are to be repeated starting in July of each year. January to June are 26 and July to December are 26. And one of those 26 topics is that God is the only cause and creator. God is the only cause and creator. Not accident, not mortal mind, not matter. People believe that matter can talk to them. Oh, I feel hungry. Oh, I'm hurt. They think that matter can talk. Our body that we see is visible with legs and arms and everything. That is our servant. We should be telling it, okay, go and do this, go and do that, and whatever. It should be our servant, not our master. It is not our source of intelligence. Brain is not our source of intelligence. Mind, divine mind. Anything that we think comes from the brain, and if it's a good, perfect idea, it is coming from infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Mind. It's not coming from brain. You can't fix the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Dr. Ben Carson, a medical doctor, figured out how to take the brain out and fix it and put it back in. Well, the only thing we can fix with divine mind is our view of it, because it's already perfect. Mary Baker Eddy states that when it says in the beginning in Genesis 1, it really means in the only. In the only creation there is, man is the image and likeness of God. We can say that about anyone we see that appears to be involved in an accident. Everyone is an idea of God. They're the image and likeness of God. They're as perfect as God is because they're an image of God. They cannot be injured. They cannot be in pain. They cannot even have an inconvenience in their life. Because the only thing real about their life is that it is the life as expressed by God through them. God doesn't make any mistakes. God is spirit, flawless. God cannot die. God cannot be injured. God cannot lose any facility or faculty or functionality or facility or action. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent, the only power. There's no competition or opposition to the only. The only means that's it. There is nothing else. We must, when we see anything that appears to be out of order and without being perfect, we must be a Christian Scientist. Like Mary Baker Eddy asked one of her students. She said, what do you do when you see a stray dog? Or an accident? I don't know. She said a couple of things. I know the stray dog was was one of them. He didn't know what to say. She said, are you a Christian Scientist? That woke him up. He knew what he should be saying. He knew what he should have been doing. But he wasn't doing it. So he told her, no, Mrs. Eddy, I'm sorry. I am not a Christian Scientist. Well, wake up. We just finished a treatment, and I say we because it's extemporaneous, so I'm have my thought open to whatever thought comes to me. There can only be one source if the thought is correct. So it's we. Anyway, the topic is awake, alert, not woke. W-O-K-E, a term that was created by someone that doesn't have any idea what intelligence is, or they certainly weren't reflecting it at the moment. And it supposedly means that you have wakened up, so you are not an image and likeness of God. You have wakened up to a falsity. And everyone else is a falsity that doesn't follow your line of thinking. Mary Baker Eddy said to follow her only as far as she follows the Christ. Now, how's that for being a humble servant of God? How's that for being an author? She was not an author. She was a scribe under orders. She would listen, and then she would write. Listen, and then write. Listen again. She said sometimes she waited for a very long time to come up with the right word to use in a sentence when she was writing Science and Health. She had to wait until her thought was open and be receptive to what God was saying. When she was a little girl, she heard a voice that called her, Mary. Mary. She went to her mother and said, "What do you want, Mom?" Her mother said, "I didn't call you." She said, "Well, somebody was calling me. They said, Mary." Her mother said, "God is talking to you. The next time, say yes, Father. What do you want me to do?" She was a young girl. She was very spiritually minded. Everybody in the world tried to tell her to stop writing that book when she was writing Science and Health. They kicked her out in the middle of the night. Every place she went to stay, as soon as they knew what she was doing, she was out on the street. Her own family totally divorced her. They didn't want anything to do with her, and they did everything they could to try to stop her from doing what she was doing. We must work out our own salvation. But if we see an accident, our own salvation includes seeing everyone in that accident as an idea of God that is perfect, with perfect functioning, capacity, capability, facility, perfect action, perfect creative ability, no limitation. And knowing that everything is possible to God. Nothing is impossible to God. The only thing that's impossible to God is for God to be flawed. That's something God's not capable of doing. Because God is perfect. God only knows perfection. God is a quality. A quality talks to us in symbols. Everything is symbols. A perfect flower, a perfect aroma from a flower, a perfect tree, perfect sunrise, a perfect sky, perfect color, perfect smell, perfect feel, perfect taste. Those are symbols of God. God is the one that creates perfection. God is the one that is expressing himself as perfection. or itself, because God is qualities. Like a friend of mine and her husband who were watching the Olympics, and I happened to be there at the moment. The wife, who was the one that was the practitioner and longtime friend, there was a gymnast that was on. And my friend said, look at the grace of that girl. Look at the grace. In fact, she didn't say that girl. She said, look at the grace. She was seeing the symbol. She wasn't seeing a human body. She was seeing the quality of perfection that was symbolized by the body. In fact, she's the one that taught me what body is. She said, body is everything in our thought, speech, and action. If we're thinking about being on the moon, that's part of our body. If we're thinking about driving a race car, if we're thinking about a beautiful, perfect event that is all harmonious and fulfilling its purpose, whatever it was, that's our body. Whatever we're doing is our body. What do we want our body to be? Because our expression of what is in our consciousness, that is our experience. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Such a valuable, valuable phrase that we were blessed with from Shakespeare. A genius of the literary word. The top people in every field, whether it's physics, mathematics, chemistry, doesn't matter what it is. If they're really the top people in their field, they have acknowledged that there is a power that is far beyond what is in sitting on top of their shoulders and what is called a head or a brain. They've recognized it. Einstein said curiosity was the greatest thing. He said it has a reason for its own being. He says don't let a day go by without being curious and trying to get a little better understanding of the holy. He attended Christian Science Church. He studied the textbook. He spent time in the reading room. When he would go to church, he told the ushers, he says, you guys don't have any idea what you have. He invested his life doing research on physics. And finally, when he discovered there was no matter, actually around 1900, quantum physics discovered there was no matter. And then as they were working on splitting the atom, kept getting it smaller and smaller. You know, as I've stated, I believe in this recording, that you can always divide math. The smallest measurement of time is a moment, and that cannot really be expressed in math because you can always divide whatever number you come up with in math to a smaller number. In fact, there's a movie that is about Einstein, and the gal in there was Einstein's niece, and she followed in his footsteps, you know, mathematician and so forth. And she was involved with a man that was in the movie. And he had an uncanny curiosity about the heavens, you know, the stars and constellations and everything. And I think they were approaching each other to go dancing on the dance floor. They were getting closer together to where they could put their arms in the proper place to dance. And she says, you know, we can never get together. He said, why? She said, because you can always divide the amount of distance to a smaller amount of distance. We can never get it to zero. She was so clever. That's exactly right. So therefore, a word describes the smallest measurement of time. It's called a moment. Just like a word describes the largest, which is infinity. There are no accidents. We have to affirm that there are no accidents. Every time we see something that appears to be an accident. And we must say that this includes everyone in all existence. There cannot be an accident anywhere. There cannot be a tornado or an earthquake or a fire or a windstorm or anything else. Tornado, hurricane, whatever they want to call it. It can't be real because the plan and design of everything is love, which is perfection, and the system structure of everything is principle. Everything is made of the substance of spirit. There's no chaos in spirit. We have to affirm these things in our own consciousness and reflect it out into the atmosphere of thought. That will help everyone in existence. We must be a raindrop. Let that little drop rain on the entire consciousness of mankind. Be an example. Be a lighthouse. The purpose of a lighthouse is to just be a lighthouse, to shine. To shine. And when we shine, we can prevent chaos. Just like a lighthouse prevents an accident on the rocks. It is there shining all the time. That's what it does. That's its function. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be shining with the truth, negating everything that tries to be an accident, chaos, any imbalance, any discord. The motto of Christian Science. It's up on the website right now. What does it say? It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Heal. It means change our consciousness. Say no. There is no whatever the problem seems to be. Raise the dead. We have to raise the dead thought. The thought that is inactive. We have to bring it alive. We have to awaken it. We have to be alert. We can only live in the kingdom of heaven if we are guarding our thought and not let anything unlike heaven enter in. A border that is open that lets everything in, that's an accident. That's a discord. That's a dis-ease. We must hold on to our spiritual identity. That's what our border is. It's the border of our consciousness. It needs to be spiritual. We need to be identifying everything as spiritual, or we don't let it in. How about the government? The government has to be representing system and structure based on spiritual principle. How about an immigrant? They're out there searching. They may not know they're searching for love, but they are. They could be a terrorist. They could be labeled as a terrorist. They're searching for something. They're not satisfied. They're not fulfilled. A man that was armed walked into a home or broke into the door or whatever he did. He got inside and he stole everything he wanted and walked away. From the moment he invaded their home, the Christian Science couple thought of man as being honest. And they never let up on that thought. Pretty soon he came back to the door and returned everything. He says, I don't know what came over me. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Here are all your things. And he left. What is war? War means we're looking for something. We should be warring only with evil. Not with another country, not with another person, another individual. Every country has their uniqueness. Every language, every color of skin has their uniqueness. Don't try to interfere with it. Don't try to dilute it. Don't try to change it. Let every individual be an individual. Let every country be a country. The Monroe Doctrine is something Mary Baker Eddy was very firm about, and that means we shouldn't get in war with anyone or any country unless they come and try to invade our continent. And then is the only time we should have an army that is active. Otherwise, any army we have should be only guarding the door of thought, guarding our borders, not going to some foreign land and trying to confiscate someone else's natural resources. World War II was for the purpose of destroying Germany so we could steal their scientists. Because they had the most advanced scientists. Russia also has been up there at the top. In fact, we used to buy all of our rockets from Russia. Until very recently. Because they had the most advanced scientists since World War II, outside of what we stole from Germany. We stole their entire intelligence apparatus. It's called the CIA. How's that for a lack of a spiritual foundation? Thievery. No accident. There's no accident about anything, and we don't want to make an accident. We don't want to make war. Every individual has their right to their own freedom, their own culture. Every stray dog has a right to have our denial that they can be without anything that they need. They cannot be without food, shelter, and clothing. Well, they don't need clothing. They cannot be without anything they need. Love. They can't be without the love, the caring. Whatever they need, they cannot be without. We can apply that to everybody, everything in the jungle. We can apply that to every individual, all humanity, of course. God is all in all, and that allness does not include anything that is chaotic. It's only harmony, balance, perfection. And God being omnipresent and being omni-everything, There is nothing but God. Nothing but God. Amen.